the persons who are the jnanis who are trying to understand the Brahman feature of the Supreme Lord, they are giving up material sense gratification, and they're, by their speculative knowledge, by their own efforts, they're trying to understand this Brahman. They're realizing that the happiness of this material world is insignificant compared to that realization of Brahman. So they're prepared to perform tapasyas, austerities, give it up, this happiness of the material world, to understand that feature of the Supreme Lord, which is known as Brahman. Krishna is known as Param Brahma. Param Brahma. So, what should one be prepared to give up? Is it that one can engage in material sense gratification and at the same time know the Param Brahma? Those yogis who are steeped in meditation, they're trying to understand the Paramatma feature of the Lord, how the Lord is situated there within everyone's heart, and how he's within every atom. This is their effort. They're trying to reach this realization. But they also are performing brahmacharya, tapasya. They're not engaged in sense gratification, because they realize that this will keep them from understanding the Supreme Lord. So how much so that is there for understanding the Param Brahma, the Supreme Lord? And then to understand how that Supreme Lord enjoys, or how, when he wants to enjoy, by what potency does he enjoy? So we can just imagine what kind of effort, if there's so much effort being made to understand Brahman, so much effort to understand Paramatma, how much effort is there to understand Param Brahma? And over and above that, how this Supreme Lord expands himself in his pleasure potency to enjoy. Actually, whenever we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're actually addressing that pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. Hare is actually coming from the word Hara, which is the energy of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. And in the vocative, that Hara becomes Hare. When you call out to someone, that's the vocative. So Hara becomes Hare. In actuality, when we chant Hare Krishna, we're chanting, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, I'm now engaged in the service of this material world, right? In the service of my senses, whether that is self-centered sense gratification or extended sense gratification. I'm engaged in that now. Self-centered sense gratification is my own mind and senses, trying to please my own mind and senses, trying to manipulate the material energy in such a way that I can satisfy my mind and senses. Extended sense gratification means that I try to satisfy the mind or senses of those which I identify as mine, my wife, my children, my family members, my community members, right? You can go on extending it. It's called expanded sense gratification. So one may be identifying with the whole world, trying to satisfy the senses of everybody in the world. Extended sense gratification. But this business is not making anyone happy. One may faithfully serve one's mind and senses, or the mind and senses of others, but in the end, neither you'll be satisfied, neither they'll be satisfied. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's praying that the senses are such cruel masters. Right? Normally we think you have a master, you're the servant of some master, and you serve him faithfully, right? And when you become old and useless, if the master's kind, then he says, okay, now you take it easy, don't worry, you relax, you served so nicely for so many years, you know, you can retire, right? But the senses are not like that. They're very cruel masters. And even though we serve them faithfully our whole lives, even in old age, they're never satisfied. Still, they're demanding gratification. Right? They don't leave us. Such cruel masters, the senses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So for the devotee of the Lord, when he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. The devotee is pleading, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, now I'm fed up with these cruel masters. I want to be engaged in your service. Please engage me in your service. So when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Srila Prabhupada has described, this is the greatest prayer. There is no greater prayer that one can offer to the Lord than this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's directly addressing Krishna and Krishna's energy. So, the Goswamis in Vrindavan, when they were living there, they were always looking for Krishna. Always looking for Krishna. They never claimed that they found Krishna. Today we see there are persons living in Vrindavan, and they're claiming that, oh, I saw Radharani and Krishna last night. But it's not so cheap thing. These are known as the Prakriti Sahajas. They make it as a very cheap thing to live in Vrindavan and to engage in sense gratification. And to think that the pastimes in Radha and Krishna are some material thing, like the pastimes of boys and girls in this material world. They are missing the point, as the whole of human society is missing the point. They're thinking that life is meant for sense gratification. That's not human life. Human life is not meant for sense gratification. It's meant for understanding this principle of Krishna and Krishna's various energies and how they relate with Him. But unfortunately, the modern civilization is only advancing this, what Prabhupada calls a hog civilization. Hogs and dogs. How to eat, how to sleep, how to have sex. This is the business of the animals. This is not the business of the human beings. We can see in Vrindavan how the hogs are living, right? They're all day looking for our stool. And when they find stool, they eat very nicely, and they become very fat by eating the stool. And after they become energized by eating so much stool, they're looking where is sex. This is the hog's life. And unfortunately, this is modern society's life. They think that they're very advanced. Why do they think they're advanced? Because they're driving in nice cars, living in nice apartment, so we're advanced. But in actuality, simply hog civilization. Simply hog civilization. So what can such a civilization understand about Krishna and Krishna's energies? Which he has various energies. One of those energies is his, what's known as Sandini Shakti. He has his Sandini Shakti, Sambit Shakti, Sandini Shakti, and they correspond with his features as Satchit Ananda. So the Ananda feature is this Sandini Shakti. When the Supreme Lord desires to enjoy, how does he enjoy? Enjoys through his Sandini Shakti. And that is manifested as Srimati Radharani. Radha and Krishna are one. There's no meaning to Krishna without Radharani. There's no meaning of Radharani without Krishna. They're one, but they're separated. They're separated to experience the relationship are what's known as the mellow of rus. So this is a very elevated topic. And those persons who are conditioned by this idea that they can enjoy in this material world, they can't understand it. We see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he only discussed these elevated topics of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna with just a few devotees. Sarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahidi. With these devotees he discussed. Not that he discussed in general public, because the general public cannot understand. However, Srila Prabhupada has given us these very elevated topics in his translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in the part where Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining the reason for the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Radha and Krishna. So although they've separated eternally for the purpose of experiencing the mellow of rus, they've again joined together in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's none other than Krishna himself, but in the mood of Radharani. So explaining why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented, we can say that he came to establish the Yuga Dharma. But actually, there's a more intimate reason, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that. But in doing that, he gives us some information about Krishna and Krishna's energy, in particular Srimati Radharani. So I'd like to read that part of Chaitanya Charitamrita so that we can... And even Srila Krishna's Kaviraj says that, actually, I shouldn't be telling these things. Right? I shouldn't be telling these things. They're too intimate. But if I don't tell them, how will the world come to know? Right? Those who are ready to actually know, how will they come to know if I don't tell? Right? So, this is a very... even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you won't find Radharani's name. You don't find it. So some scholars say that, you know, the idea of Radharani is an imagination. It's just somebody's imagination. But in other places in the Puranas, Radharani's name is mentioned, so that is not actually a valid. But it's stated that because Shukadeva Goswami was relating to Maharaj Parikshit and wanted to finish the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the different pastimes of the Lord and the Lord's devotees, the Lord's incarnations, so therefore he refrained from using the name of Radha because it may cause him to go into ecstasy and not be able to complete his mission of explaining to Maharaj Parikshit the full information of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is, I'm reading from the Adi Lila. And it's, the chapter's entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Lord's Appearance. And again, I'm reading this because later on you'll see how this particular chapter gives a lot of information about Radharani and her relationship with Krishna and how Krishna relates to her. So, to really understand this, one has to have performed heaps and heaps of devotional service to really enter into the mystery. But simply by hearing it on this very auspicious day, we can become purified. So this is from, again, chapter 4 from Adi Lila. The scriptures proclaim that Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. We just celebrated Janmashtami, and we heard how the demigods were overburdened with this demoniac influence that was there in the world. So the demigods prayed, "My dear Lord, please come and take away this burden." To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together with him. Lord Narayan, the four primary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pajumna and Aniruddha, Matsya and the other Leela incarnations, the Yuga avatars, the Manvantars incarnations, and as many other incarnations are there are, all descended in the body of Lord Krishna. In this way, the complete Supreme Godhead, Lord Krishna himself, appears. So it just so happened that at the same time, the burden of the world, Narayan's job, was there. Krishna also, it was time for Krishna to appear. So simultaneously, Krishna appeared, combining with him all the various incarnations at the same time. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu, in the presence, is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He's always there with the gopis, the cowherd boys, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, right? So then, who killed the demons, right? That was done by Krishna's expansions. Thus, the killing of the demons is but secondary work. I shall now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and as the most merciful of all. All the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love, weakened by that sense of majesty, does not satisfy me. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. So Krishna is not so much pleased when the devotee is in that mood of awe and reverence. Like the Vaikuntha Bhav, realizing that the Supreme Lord is the creator, he's the maintainer of everything, everything's going on by his energy. Well, that's nice, but he's not so much, it weakens the love, right? And he's not necessarily controlled by that kind of love. That's what Srila Krishnas Kaviraj is describing here. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. In whatever way my devotee surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. This is from Bhagavad Gita. Ye yatam mod papratyante tam stataiva vajami aham. So however you want to relate with Krishna, so Krishna is ready to relate with you in that way. And he reciprocates with the devotee in the relationship that they want to have. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Devotional service rendered to me by the living being revives that eternal life. My dear damsels of Braj, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. So here we're getting a preview of the different rasas that are there in Vrindavan, starting with the gopis, which is the highest, and their attachment for Krishna, their devotional service for Krishna is so great. You know, he's not even able to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita that I reward them accordingly. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Ye yatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva vajami aham. But here he's saying to the gopis that your devotion is so pure for me, I can't even give you anything in return. You'll just have to be satisfied with that. Then he explains about his mother. Mother Yashoda is thinking that if Krishna doesn't eat, he'll be hungry, so I have to cook to feed him so he doesn't become sick. And sometimes because he's naughty, she ties him up with a rope, right? And Mother Yashoda is thinking that Krishna's under my control. Krishna, I'm controlling Krishna. When he gets fed, you know, when he's naughty, I have to punish him. She's thinking, I'm controlling. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. The cowherd boys are thinking, right? They're thinking they can play games with Krishna and they can defeat Krishna, and Krishna and them, they're on the same platform. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. So the Vedic mantras, you know, they attract the Lord, but his consorts in Vrindavan are the gopis. If they rebuke him, that attracts him even more than the Vedic hymns. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. So this is, you know, this is actually Srila Krishna's Kaviraj playing the part of Krishna and revealing the mind of Krishna, why he's coming to the material world, right? Why Krishna's entering into the material world, because he wants to display to the world these pastimes of these devotees of Braj that are not even seen in Vaikuntha. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. You know what paramour means? Paramour? Right? It's like somebody's married, right? But after they're already married, they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. This is called paramour, right? Extracurricular activity, right? Paramour. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Pure attachment will unite us, even at the expense of moral and religious duties. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. Then I will taste the essence of these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Then, by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Braj, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activities. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. Here, the use of the verb bhavet, which is in the imperative mood, tells us that this certainly must be done. Non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. So it's the duty of the living entity to try to understand these pastimes of Krishna that he manifested in Vrindavan, especially with the gopis. If you didn't try to understand that, you're not really fulfilling the purpose of the human form of life. Bhavet indicates that it's your duty, that's what you should do. Just as these desires are the fundamental reason for Krishna's appearance, whereas destroying the demons is only an incidental necessity, so for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgating the Dharma of the age is incidental. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. Thus, with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of praying with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Thus he spread the kirtan even among the untouchables. He wore a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire world. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. Four kinds of devotees are the reciprocals of the four kinds of mellows and love of God, namely servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. Each kind of devotee feels that his sentiment is the most excellent, and thus in that mood he tastes great happiness with the Lord. It's not that the cowherd boys are thinking, gee whiz, I wish I could be a gopi. Or that the cows in Vrindavan that have relationship with Krishna are hoping one day they can become a cowherd boy. No. Everyone is very much satisfied with the particular rasa that they have with Krishna. They're very content and satisfied with that. But if we compare the sentiments in an impartial mood, we find the conjugal sentiment is superior to all others in sweetness. Everybody's happy where they're at in the Vrindavan in relationship with Krishna, but if you look at it objectively, the sentiments of the conjugal love or the gopis that they have for Krishna is the sweetest or the highest of all. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste is the gradual succession of desire manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Therefore, I call it Madhurya Ras. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded, which is explained as Parakya Ras and Svakya Ras, means married love and Parakya unmarried love. There's a great increase in the mellow and the unwedded conjugal mood. Such love is found nowhere but in Braj. This mood is unbounded in the damsels of Braj, but among them it finds its perfection in Sri Radha. Her pure, mature love surpasses all of the others. Her love is the cause of Krishna's tasting the sweetness of the conjugal relationship. So of all the gopis who have this affection for Krishna as their paramour, Radharani is the highest. Therefore, Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Krishna himself, accepted the sentiments of Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Lord Chaitanya is the shelter of the demigods, the goal of the Upanishads, and the be-all and end-all of great sages, the beautiful shelter of his devotees, and the essence of the love of the lotus-eyed gopis. Will he again be the object of my vision? Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarine mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels, Sri Radha, and so he assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. Certainly no one can understand anything about Radha and Krishna, or specifically Radharani, without understanding Lord Chaitanya. To accept ecstatic love is the main reason he appeared and re-established the religious system for this age. I shall now explain the reason. Everyone, please listen. Having first given hints about the verse describing the principal reason why the Lord appeared, now I shall manifest its full meaning. The loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. As we described before, his Hlandini Shakti. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united. In the form of Sri Chaitanya, I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he's Krishna himself. This is a very important verse, and it's one of the first texts that are there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's from the diary of Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar, again, is one of the intimate devotees that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the past, are, you know, engaged in hearing chanting the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies, thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Now to enjoy rus, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I shall first delineate the position of Radha and Krishna. From that description, the glory of Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, will be known. Srimati Radharani is a transformation of Krishna's love. So these are things that we can understand about Radharani, right? Krishnadas Kaviraj will be explaining. She is this internal energy called Landini. That Landini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Lord Krishna's body is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss, ananda. His one spiritual energy manifests three different forms. Landini is his aspect of bliss, Sandini is the eternal existence, and Samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Landini, Sandini, and Samvit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two do not exist in you, for they have no material qualities. So these spiritual energies of Krishna, they have so many different aspects and attributes, but one thing they don't have is this material existence of happiness and distress or the misery of the material world. That's absent there. The essential portion of the Sandini potency is Shuddha Sattva. Lord Krishna's existence rests upon it. Krishna's mother, father, abode, house, bedding, seats, and so on are all transformations of the Shuddha Sattva. The condition of pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed without any covering, is called Vasudeva. In that pure state, the Supreme Godhead, who is beyond the material senses and is known as Vasudeva, is perceived by my mind. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was spoken by Lord Shiva when he condemned Daksha, the father of Sati. The essence of the Samvit potency is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. All other kinds of knowledge, such as the knowledge of Brahman, are its components. The essence of the Landini potency is pure love of God. The essence of love of God is called bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is called mahabhava. Sri Radha Thakurini is the embodiment of mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. This is from Rupa Goswami's Ujjwala Nilamani, this verse. Of these two gopis, Radharani and Chandravali, Srimati Radharani is superior in all respects. She's the embodiment of Mahabhava, and she surpasses all in good qualities. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Landini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever blissful spiritual rust. Now please listen to how Lord Krishna's consorts help him taste rus and how they help in his pastimes. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens and the milkmaids of Braj, who are foremost of all. These consorts are all proceed from Radhika. So, in other words, just as Krishna has his various incarnations, his various expansions, in his Narayan forms, his Leela avatars, his Manva avatars, his Purusha avatars, right? Who expands from Krishna? All the different incarnations. So in the same way, Radharani has her expansions also. Who are the expansions of Radharani? Lakshmis, right? All the various Lakshmis, whether it's Lakshmi Nrisimha, Lakshmi Narayan, all the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord, they have their eternal consorts also. And these are all expansions of Srimati Radharani. And then again, she expands further. Krishna has how many wives in Vrindavan? 16,108 wives, right? So all of these wives of Krishna in Dwarka, they're queens. He provided for each one of them an opulent palace, right? So the queens of Dwarka, who are they the expansions of? Radharani, yes. So the Lakshmi expansions, the queens in Dwarka, they're all expansions of Srimati Radharani. Just as the fountainhead is the cause of all incarnations, so Radha is the cause of all these consorts. The goddess of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. The goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions, and they display the forms of Vaibhava Vilas. The queens are the nature of her Vaibhava Prakash expansions. So these are some technical terms about what the Lakshmi expansions are and what the queens of Dwarka expansions are. The Braja Devis have diverse bodily features. They are her expansions, and they are the instruments for expanding Ras. So again, in Braj, Radharani expands herself as the gopis, just to increase the pleasure of Krishna. Without many consorts, there's no such exaltation in Rus. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. So these tendencies are there in Krishna. And as small, insignificant particles of Krishna, we also have these tendencies, right? Srila Prabhupada gives the example that, you know, he was giving a lecture on Radhastami, and he said, if I was giving the lecture in an empty room, right, there wouldn't be so much enjoyment as if I'm giving the lecture and the room's filled up with people, right? So we have that tendency to be with others and do things, right? So in the same, where do we get that from? Because the living entity is a small sample portion of the Lord, same in quality but different in quantity, that tendency is thus because the tendency is there in Krishna. So as we like to have various companies, that tendency is there in Krishna. So in order to exploit or to expand that enjoyment of Krishna in the fullest, Radharani expands herself as the gopis. Among them are various groups of consorts in Braj who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the rasa dance and other pastimes. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she's also the enchanter of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. Now, these are some names, actually, of Radharani. And I thought I'd just tell you the Bengali for these names. They're very nice. So one name of Radharani is Govinda Anandini Radha. Govinda Anandini Radha means one who gives pleasure to Govinda. Govinda Anandini Radha. Everyone say it. Govinda Anandini Radha. Come on, this is Radharani's day. Let's say it a little bit louder. Govinda Anandini Radha. Okay, very nice. Now what does it mean? It means one who gives pleasure to Govinda. And then another name for Radharani, because Radharani, whenever Krishna sees her, he becomes struck with wonder. He just becomes like awestruck when he sees Radharani. He becomes mystified, right? He can't really figure it out, right? So therefore her name is Govinda Mohini. Come on, you can do better than that. Govinda Mohini. Very good. And then another name for Radharani means that she is the be-all and end-all of Govinda. Means Govinda starts with Radharani, Govinda ends with Radharani. Right? And in the middle, it's Radharani for Govinda. Right? Without Radharani, Govinda, no meaning. Right? So therefore, she's known as Govinda Sarvasva. Govinda Sarvasva. Let's try it again. Govinda Sarvasva. Sorry. And she is the best of all the lovers of Krishna. The crown jewel of Krishna's lovers is Radharani. And therefore she's known as Sarvakanta Shiromani. Sarvakanta Shiromani. Sarvakanta Shiromani. So these are some nice names of Radharani. You can remember them throughout the day. If you want to look them up, they're on chapter 4, text number 82. So this is a verse from the Brihad Gotamiya Tantra, right? From the Vedic literatures. And it specifically talks about Srimati Radharani. So Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj, he breaks down this verse and analyzes this verse from the Brihad Gotamiya Tantra. Devi Krishna Mayi Bhokta Radhika Pada Devata Sarvalakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Samohini Padaha. So the translation: the transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval, eternal potency, internal potency of the Lord. Devi, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj explaining the verse. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful. Huh? So the word in the verse, Devi, means resplendent and the most beautiful. Resplendent means filled with all attractiveness. Resplendent, filled, and very beautiful. Or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and the love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishna Mayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. Krishna Mayi means that one who everything inside of them and outside of them is with Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Krishna Mayi. Or Krishnamayi means that she's identical with Lord Krishna. Radharani is non-different from Krishna. For she embodies the mellows of love, the energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of filling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Truly, the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind. This verse is spoken by the gopis from Srimad 10th Canto of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, Radha is the Param Devata, the Supreme Goddess, and she is worshipful for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. I have already explained the meaning of Sarvalakshmi. Radha is the original source of all the goddesses of fortune. Or, Sarvalakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of the Lord. Krishna has the six opulences, and Radharani fully represents these six opulences. The word Sarvakanti indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body. Right? All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. So all the beauty that there is resting in Radharani. And all of the Lakshmis, where do they get their beauty from? From Srimati Radharani. Kanti may also mean all the desires of the Lord. All the desires of the Lord rest in Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarvakanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna the possessor of all full power. The two are non-different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. One nice pastime is there to exemplify this, that Krishna enchants the whole world. Krishna means all attractive. But then Radharani even enchants him. Once the gopis were in Vrindavan and they were looking for Krishna. So they saw him off in a distant kunj and they ran there. So Krishna, he wanted to hide himself from the gopis. So he assumed the form of Narayan, his forearm form. So when the gopis came to Narayan, they offered their obeisances and they said, "Where is Krishna? Can you?" They weren't interested in the form of Narayan. They wanted to know, "Where is Krishna?" So Krishna said, "I think he went that way." So they ran off looking for Krishna. But then after some time, Radharani came. And Radharani came before Narayan, and Krishna was again trying to hide himself with his forearms in front of Radharani. But he couldn't. He kept slipping back into his form of Krishna due to the attraction that he has for Radharani, due to his being attracted by her. Right? So this story exemplifies that everyone is attracted by Krishna, but even Krishna is enchanted by Radharani. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and heat is non-different. Thus, Radha and Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellow of pastimes. To promulgate Prem Bhakti, Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the mood and complexion of Sri Radha. Thus have I explained the meaning of fifth verse. To explain this sixth verse, I shall give a hint of its meaning. So, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj goes on to explain the other confidential reasons for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. But I felt that that part also gave us a little inclination or hint as to the glories of Srimati Radharani and her intimate relationship with Lord Krishna. So lastly, I'd like to just go over the different qualities of Srimati Radharani. So just as Krishna has his various qualities, those qualities are also there in Narayan. But Krishna has four extra qualities that are not there even in Narayan. So similarly, Srimati Radharani has her qualities, and they're listed in the Ujjwala Nilamani in a section called Sri Radha Parakrama. So I thought we'd just read over these qualities of Radharani on her appearance day. this is from the Madhya Lila, chapter 23, text number 87 through 91. Srimati Radharani's 25 chief transcendental qualities are, of course, Radharani's qualities are unlimited, but her chief qualities are 25 in number. One, she is very sweet. Two, she's always freshly youthful. Three, her eyes are restless. Four, she smiles brightly. Five, she has beautiful, auspicious lines. Six, she makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma. Seven, she is very expert in singing. Eight, her speech is charming. Nine, she is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly. 10. She's very humble and very meek. 11. She's always full of mercy. 12. She is cunning. 13. She is expert in executing her duties. 14. She is shy. 15. She is always respectful. 16. She's always calm. 17. She's always very grave. 18. She is expert in enjoying life. 19. She's situated at the topmost level of ecstatic love. 20. She is a reservoir of loving affairs in Gokul. 21. She is the most famous of submissive devotees. 22. She is very affectionate to elderly people. 23. She is very submissive to the love of her friends. 24. She is the chief gopi. And 25. She always keeps Krishna under her control. In short, she possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, just as Lord Krishna does. So, of all these 25 qualities, quality number 11 is the one that's most important for us. Quality number 11 is that she's always full of mercy. So to approach Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is not a very easy thing. Right? You can imagine, just if you want to go meet the Prime Minister of India or the President of the United States, it's not that you can just walk into the office. Right? It's not so easy thing. So what to speak of the Supreme Lord? Right? The creator of everything, the maintainer of everything, by which this universe exists. Right? Just like we exist, this body that we have exists because we're inside of it. If we don't, if the soul is no longer inside the body, what is the value of that body? Right? And one may be a big judge or a big man, right? But once the soul leaves the body, what is that body? Nobody cares for it. In that way, we can understand that this universe has its existence. Huh? Why? Because of the Lord has entered into it. The Lord has entered into the universe. Therefore, it has life. So to meet that person, it's not such an easy thing. But if one approaches the manifestation of His mercy, which is Srimati Radharani, then it can be possible. Right? It can be possible. Prabhupada says that no matter what kind of a fool I am, if Radharani says, here's one devotee to Krishna, then Krishna must accept. So therefore, the devotees in Vrindavan, they place more importance on Radharani. When you go to Vrindavan, what do you hear everyone chant? Radhe, Radhe. Right? Why? Why is that? Because they know that if somehow or another they can please Radharani, then on their behalf, she'll intercede with Krishna for them. So on this day of Sri Radhastami, we should pray to Radharani, who is the mercy manifestation of Lord Krishna, so that we can somehow or another please her, obtain her mercy, so that she'll intercede on our behalf to Lord Krishna, and then he'll accept us. Hare Krishna. Sri Radhastami ki jai.